If everyone can stand up with me real quick. So I get the honor and the privilege. So if you don't know Keith McAlpine, come on up, Keith. Give it up for him. If you don't know, this guy is, I think next month, actually our first Sunday in the new building, he will be officially put in as an elder of Rock Church in front of the whole church. He has went through over a 2+ year program to become an elder. He has been time tested, if you will. He is a faithful as they come. He has poured into me significantly as a family man. He is everything that the Bible says that you need to be an elder. And we couldn't be more pumped today to hear him preach one of his first messages ever. First message ever?
Yeah,
first message ever. Let's do this. So give it up one more time for Keith.
Cool. You know what? Let's do scripture reading real fast. Then I'll do a little bit of an intro. So if we can get our attention to the Word of God. Our scripture reading is from 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to verse 8. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way, and it's not irritable and resentful. It doesn't rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they'll pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, being inside us, God, even just reading through that, how you are busy working things in us, moving us, drawing us closer to your love. I thank you, Father, that you are busy renewing our minds. Make us aware of what love is. Amen. The word of God for the people of God, you may be seated. I know, it's all official, right? So, just really fast, Kendra and myself, we've been, at Rock Church, we've been here for, there's a big ringing going on. Oh, testing, that's better. So, Kendra and myself, we've been going to Rock Church for 13 years. I had to get the numbers all correct. Because numbers is my weakness. But we've been married for 18 years. It's important to get that one right. And she has been Wonder Woman at home, homeschooling all four our kids. Alex and Jesse, I think all of them are up there. 15, this is again numbers game. 15, 13, 10, and 17 are their ages. How's that for family planning? And what, seven?
Seven, not 17.
Yeah, seven, yeah. Deegan? Is eight? Okay. We're getting past this part of the sermon, so this is the most difficult part, okay? Yes, numbers, not my strength, but love my family. I was landed in America, woo, with the Mayflower, hey, in 2003. So it's been fun ever since. But let's get back to this. This is much more important, right? Can we get that scripture back up? So this is a very good definition of love. So like if you ask any Christian, what's your definition of love? They'll immediately point to this guy. We understand that God is love. And so this is a very good description of God's character. Now you can look at this verse two different ways. One way is you can be like, okay, so this is God's perfect love for us. But I'm going to take a little bit of a different angle today. We're going to look at it as how we can change our mind, will, and emotions to become more like looking like this. Okay? And so, and I will not let this fall. It's iron grip. Because Sinan's like, you know what? People might get a little nervous if you want to like, but I'm okay. So are we looking for perfection? We're reading the scripture and we're thinking, dang, that is a tall list. That seems very intimidating. There's no way I can do this. And we're thinking, you know what? It is absolutely impossible for us to do this. But I don't want us to shoot for perfection. because we know we're human. We're not going to aim for perfection here. What we want to do is we want to become more and more like Jesus Christ. Okay, that is the goal. So, and what I also want to do is renew this sense of hope that we have in the power of the gospel, because we get in such a rut when it comes to our relationships that we lose track of the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have a slide up there. Hopefulness. Hopefulness and faith. So it is possible to love, so we're going to keep on moving forward. That is our mindset. So we want to get our thinking in the right way. Hopefulness and faith. So the problem is, I think one of the main reasons it's so difficult for us to become love, to really become love, is we think of love as much more of an emotion, like much more of a, it's only an emotion when you think about love. So when we think about emotions, typically, it's like these things are all over the place, right? I mean, Monday, you feel like this. Tuesday, you're all sideways and up and down. And so it kind of takes us back to this square one. I don't really feel like I'm growing. I don't feel like I'm becoming this because I'm looking to my emotions to tell me how I understand love and how I live love. So here's what happens to me. What is this thing doing? Sorry. So here's what happens to me. I get a moment of time in my day, just a little blank space. I don't have much to do in that time. I know what the right thing to do is. I know that, heck, anything, right? Let's read a little scripture. Let's meditate on the word of God. Let's get our mind just focus on spiritual things, but I don't do those things. I go to the other direction. And my cohort knows this, like I just get on Facebook and I scroll. And as I'm wasting time there, like this feeling of guilt, it just builds and builds. Suddenly at first, but you become so aware that you're busy wasting time that this thing gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And so when one of my kids are like, hey, you know, Dad, can you just help me with something? Immediately I snap. And then it's that disappointment that piles on top of that feeling of guilt. And so it's around about this time when the devil's like, oh, dang, we're going to have a party at Keith's place because his emotions all over the place. So this is a perfect breeding ground for stuff like condemnation. Because, I mean, just a week ago, I prayed, you know what, God, help me with my relationship with my kids, you know, but now all of this is happening. Even, you know, just thinking that all of this is happening and my emotions and my feelings are so compounded by the thought of, well, how much time did I just now waste? I could have done much better things with my time. I could have, like, written a better sermon, for instance. I could have, you know, so it's all compounded. And I feel like it's all just back to square one, and I am at such a loss. I'm at a loss. I don't feel very loved. I don't feel by God. I don't feel forgiven by God. I don't feel like I'm really tight with him. We just need to start all over again, right? This is when emotions are leading my relationship with God. So I want to read from 2 Corinthians 3:18. Have it up there. So, and we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of God, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. when emotions cloud your face so much, like you need something to unveil. And that's where this comes in. So it talks about an unveiled face and beholding the glory of God. And then very interesting is being transformed. So we have to become something else. We got to move. We got to progress. We got to step into this image that we behold of Christ Jesus. And this can be difficult. This can be really tricky. So the very next verse, it says, now this Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, or actually that's the previous verse. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I mean, that is a clear destination. That is a place where we go to. That's the place of freedom. And that is kind of where we want to steer ourselves. When we read scriptures like 1 Corinthians 13, I think it seems so unreachable. And you got to ask yourself at some point during the reading of that, can you be patient? Can you be kind? Can you not insist on your own emotions, on your own feelings? Is it possible for you to not rejoice in the wrong? Can your love be never ending? I mean, just imagine that. And I think that is what God has in mind for us. Again, we're not looking for perfection, but we do want to take our relationships and move them from hopefulness into the hopeful column. I'm talking in terms here of impossible versus possible, because our mind at some point just cuts out and it's like, listen, I cannot be that, so I'm already in a state of hopelessness. Okay? So the solution here, in my teens, I don't know if how many of you guys know Don Francisco. Nothing? Nobody? And he had a song, Love is Not a Feeling But an Act of Your Will. And I tried to find this on YouTube, bring back so many memories. It was an awesome song. and I'm not going to try and sing that again. But the part there says that love is better associated with an act of your will. And sorry, I just need to get rid of some jitters. Okay. So putting emotions, taking emotions and putting them in a place of submission to your will, I think that is so important, because only then can we really understand the true nature of love, right? So I'm going to read from Luke 22, verse 41. This is a super intense and profound, and one of the things that mostly draws me to Jesus Christ is the scripture. And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and he prayed, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And there appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat became like these great drops of blood falling down to the ground. That is super intense. Imagine the emotion that Jesus felt in that moment. I mean, it even uses the word like agony, is being in agony. And he prayed more earnestly, right? If Jesus was led by his emotions, probably would have been like, I'm out. I can't do this, right? But we're saying that love is an act of your will, and that's level two. But Jesus took it to level three, where he was like, Father, I submit myself to you. So even his will, he took and he submitted it to the Father. That doesn't just happen spontaneously. You need a renewed will for that kind of thing. So something needs to change in what we want. So I think it is super important at this point to figure out what you want and make sure that it's good. If we really want to love like Jesus wants us to love, figure out what you want and make sure that it's good. I think of your will as it is the thing that emanates, right? If I want good things, then I'll be emanating love. I'll be emanating grace and goodness. If I want bad things, then I'll be emanating things like hatefulness or hatred, right? So it is the beginning point of what you start expressing to the world around you. So two stories coming up. Oh man, I don't know if this was a bad idea, but stories gets me into trouble. So first story is about driving. So Kendra and I, we had a time where she came to South Africa. Are you blushing already? So we had a time in South Africa where she just came and she visited me for about a year. Now imagine this, you're in a foreign country, you're driving on the wrong side of the road. Now at that point she was struggling with anxiety, right? So you take all of that and you shove it into a car with a speed demon. Someone like me. I was a terrible driver. Like I would come up to the four-way stop and I'd just kind of be eyeing it to see if there's any traffic coming. Maybe slowing down a little bit, but just cruising right through. Okay? You remember that? So she was legitimately afraid for her life. And so she would be like, hey, Keith, could you just slow down a little bit? But I'm like, no, I just want to drive the way I want to drive. And I would carry on like, so imagine the arrogance, okay? Is that what love wants? There is such a, like a selfishness rooted in that. And insisting on my own way. I hope you guys can see how unloving that is. Second story. This was in the earlier years of our marriage. And you know how some people, like, you believe a certain bunch of things when it comes to money. So she is super generous. If she could just have piles of money and walk down the street, she'd be like, hallelujah, everybody, God wants to bless you. You know, she just is so generous. She wants to bless all the way through. Now, for me, we didn't grow up with much. So for me, money represented security, safety. So I got to kind of hold on, right? So imagine just how what our budget meetings looked like. It's like, every time I would have, think, you know what, it's not really necessary for us to spend money on that. You know, I would like break it down psychologically to the point where she just doesn't bring her needs and her desires to the tables anymore. That's us. That's what we do before love gets a hold of us, before the gospel change. That is what we do. In your marriage, everybody has this little area where the little red flags pop up when, you know, okay, we're going to talk about money or we're going to talk about, you know, these kind of things. It just happens. So I had to come to a point where I understand love from a will perspective. Asking questions like, do I want to be patient and kind? Do I want to be arrogant or rude? Do I want to drive the way I want to drive and handle the finances like I want to do them? Or do I have this deep desire to insist on Kendra's way? Do you have a deep desire in your relationship to insist on your spouse's way? That's the kind of stuff that love does. So sometimes my thinking is, I deserve to to be arrogant right now. I deserve to be angry right now. But then the Holy Spirit is so faithful. It's like, whoa, 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 wait a minute. You are making unforgiveness a source of joy. Now, if you'd ask me, hey, do you love Kendra? Oh, yeah, for sure, I love Kendra. But in that moment when I'm doing that, I'm really making, just getting even with her. I'm making unforgiveness a source of joy in my life. So to deny a simple request, like, hey, can you slow down a little bit? Deep down, I wanted to be rude. I wanted to be arrogant. So we really have a will problem, okay? So we talked about emotions, we talked about will, and before we get to the mind part, I think it's important to stand still really quick at Galatians 5 to give us a little hope for our sinful mindset, because it seems pretty bleak right now, right? I just talked about negative, 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 negative. So let's look at Galatians 5:16. So, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Then we're going to skip over a whole bunch of sins. Go to verse 22, please. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Verse 24, please. And those who belong to Jesus, to Christ Jesus, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. So let's pull that apart a little bit. At verse 16, if we could go back there, here's an instruction, and there's a promise. Instruction is walk by the Spirit, and the promise is that you will not follow the desires of your flesh. But, you know, when we read stuff like this, we tend to skip past that verse, or we just read on to go to the next one, because this part, walking by the Spirit, it's kind of like this voodoo magic thing. Like, what is this walk by the Spirit thing you talk of? Like, we don't know in our minds, like, what that even means, walk by the Spirit. I know how to walk in my physical body, but to walk by the Spirit is something else. So we kind of disqualify ourselves from not gratifying the desires of the flesh. And we justify, although it'd be like subconsciously, you kind of justify a little bit. You know what? I can't walk by the Spirit. So it's okay to walk by the flesh. I'm only human after all. I mean, what do you want from me? You know? So it seems impossible, but it's in you, so it has to be possible. Okay?
Amen.
Amen. Verse 17, all of that, that whole verse 17, factually correct, it is beautiful, it is wonderful, we understand that there are flesh and there are spirit and these things are opposed to one another, but it's the last part of the scripture that I want to focus on, to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. So imagine this. Right in front of me, I have desires of the Spirit. Behind me, I have the desires of the flesh. So it says there that as I desire the things of the Spirit, I automatically is kept from doing the desires of the flesh. And that is super awesome. So how do we do this? Verse 18. Verse 18 says, for we are led by the Spirit. Verse 22, the first fruit of the Spirit there is love. And that's the thing that we're talking about today. It is very interesting. Who is this fruit? Who is this for? It's for us. We are the ones that are led by the Spirit. We are the ones that, when you say yes to Jesus Christ and you get baptized with the Holy Spirit, this love is implanted in you. Okay? I mean, that's a pretty big thing. That's a pretty big statement there, because you have the ability to love like Jesus Christ. Okay? Even though you might not walk in it or believe it, you have that ability, at least. I think verse 24, if you had made the decision to put the old off the old self and put on the new self, this whole verse here, it applies to you. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So this, its passions and desires, is really talking about the sin that's in our life. And what's awesome is that Jesus took all of that and he put it on the cross. He crucified it. Your flesh with its passions and desires, it does not have authority over you anymore. It doesn't have to rule your decision making anymore. It is powerless in a way, right? Then I'm going to hop over to verse 25. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Again, don't disqualify yourself from this because of the live by the Spirit thing, okay? This, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. It's one of the most beautiful verses in the Bible, I think, because, and if you read that, like, what's the picture that comes into your mind? What's the thing that you envision? I mean, in step. I'm thinking about like a three-legged race where you have your foot, you know what I mean? And you can't move, otherwise you'll fall right over if your partner is not deciding to do the same thing. And the Holy Spirit won't force you or bully you into moving and just kind of dragging you along. It's this beautiful partnership of where we are walking together, right? And it's also not like the Holy Spirit is just running ahead and you're like, I don't even know where he's going or where he's at. He has this plan and I'm just trying to keep up, really. No, it's something completely different. We are in step with each other. So looking at Romans 8, 12 to 14, that's a bit later on. Romans 8, 12 to 14. Did you get that in there? Yeah, I'm just going to read it. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you'll die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. In this verse, like, the concept of being led by the Holy Spirit is kind of synonymous with putting things to death, putting to death the deeds of the body. So let me summarize the state of our spiritual being. And if you want to, you can read along. Yes, now we get. You're doing great, man. We are led by Holy Spirit. We desire the things of the Spirit. We have the fruit of the Spirit, and we keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Now, these things might not be like 100% completely in its fullness in every moment of every single day, but it is possible by faith. And there is no reason for a believer to not grow in these things, at least. Amen. So And now we get to the mind. And how we would go and apply all these things. So when we look back at our personal lives, and other times we do bad things, sometimes we make amazing decisions that just bears life. And other times we are making decisions where the consequences are horrific. Okay? And I ask myself, why can't we just love all the time? What is the holdup? What is the problem here? Since we've established that, hey, love is an act of your will, and you have found in yourself what is not lining up with the Word of God, and you submitted your will under the Word of God, and you've mastered the skill of taking your emotions and putting it under your will. Let's say those are all done. Check, check. Since we are led by the Holy Spirit and we are walking in step with the Holy Spirit, what still needs to be done? Like, it's not like we're waiting for another Holy Spirit. We're not waiting for the cross to be more complete in a way. Like, everything is done in that area. So what is the problem? You guys know where I'm going with this? Romans 12, the cornerstone of Christianity. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of the mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Wow. It might seem a little anticlimactic. I mean, this is what we're trying to do, right? This is the big thing that we're trying to do in all of our spiritual life, is to renew the mind. But it is so, I think it's such a profound thing. You can go all throughout your life and still not know the exact steps it takes or how it exactly happens or works. I think that it is very mysterious, but it does explain a whole lot of things. It explains why I'm still arrogant and rude toward my wife. It explains why I'm still being impatient with my children, even though I'm led by the Spirit. So renewal of the mind, how does this work? Verse 1. Nope, that's one too far. Okay. Verse 1. We can present our bodies as a living sacrifice only by God's mercy. So it is an action that we take on our part, but listen, it completely relies on God. He is the one stepping in by His mercies. That's the only way that you can take stuff and you can put it down and you can put things on the altar. So I think it is a process of emptying yourself of yourself, right? So you are busy laying things down. Second verse there, we discern God by testing. Uh-oh. Can we have, like, I'm pretty sure Romans 12 was in there. Because it'll make sense for everybody to follow along. Is it not in there? Okay. So, yes. This is the second part. So do not be conformed, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God. I see that as in this relationship with the Holy Spirit, like when we get still before God, when we get still before the Holy Spirit, His voice gets louder. It gets amplified. And we start listening, we start hearing a little bit better, we start discerning a little bit better. And so this is the point where you start filling up. When God fills you up, when you get filled up by the Spirit, A lot of times just pray in tongues. A lot of time, you know, there's different ways. Like we just, this morning, we were just praying, right? People got filled up with the Holy Spirit, got strengthened with the Holy Spirit. So this is like, I wish I had two arms, yeah, but wax on, wax off kind of deal. You know, you put off the old self, you put on the new self. It happened. Like it's a, this is a lifelong endeavor. So my big point here is that please, you gotta be patient with yourself. You gotta be patient with your spouse. Okay, sometimes we lose track of that. Oh, you know what? They should have been there. They should. I already told them. Why aren't they not doing that? You know. So being patient, because that is renewal of the mind. It takes a little while. So, we're going to look at some things that can make our journey a little easier. Slide that starts with be vulnerable. Be vulnerable before God. God pulls a veil back and he reveals our thinking for the purpose of sacrifice. The Holy Spirit doesn't just show you stuff for the fun of it. Like, he shows you stuff so that you can go and put it back on the altar. Like I mentioned before, I pray, God, you know, just help me with a relationship with my kids. Well, he shows it to me. Now it's on me. I got to take action, and I got to put it on the altar. Next one. So we ask the Holy Spirit for the same power that raised Jesus from the dead to change our minds. Can't tell you guys how much this one helped me out. I was trying to do stuff in my own power. I was trying, failing. But I'm like, wait a minute. There's this power, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. I'm going to keep on knocking. I'm going to keep on asking until God, Holy Spirit, uses that same power to come and help me here because I need help. Right. Next slide. To be absolutely ruthless with things that we know need changing. That is the least painful way. We can keep on resisting God. You have free will. You can do that. It's not going to end well. Okay. You're going to have stuff that you try to hide. That's why I love cell groups so much. Bring things out into the open, and you can deal with them ruthlessly. Because you know, next week, you're going to be taught that the same questions are going to come up. How's your soul doing? What are those hidden sins? You know? So I love that. Last point is cleaning up our mess. And nobody is above that. Just yesterday, I messed up. I was very forceful toward Kendra, and I had a decision to make. I can just kind of let it sort itself out, but it doesn't really sort itself out. Or I can confess my sins, and she can forgive me, and we can move on, you know? So I think that's a better way of dealing with that conflict situation. So my conclusion is that we all mess up. We all have examples of messing up. We read 1 Corinthians 13, we're thinking, oh, I have failed so bad at that. My emotions is ruling my life. It's destroying my relationships. My will is not quite submitted to the Word of God. I'm still struggling with that. The Holy Spirit, heck, I don't even know where he is these days. Because we build it up in our minds like, oh, I should be led by the Spirit by now, at least, you know. And I'm still facing issues or these problems with my spouse. Now, God knows. God knows these things about you. He knew that you'd be sitting in that chair at this moment in time with those issues. Struggles, problems. I want to remind you guys that the gospel is so beautiful. The gospel It's this good news that even before the foundations of the earth, even before they were laid, God had a plan that Jesus Christ was going to come, step right into our history, die, be raised again, so that that same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to us today. Okay? And I think the big thing there for me is that things become possible again. Stuff is not impossible. Like, growth becomes possible. Restoration in my relationships become possible. Like, we're talking about biblical familyhood. You look at these relationships, they're in disarray. But I tell you, it is possible. Restoration is possible because of the blood of Jesus Christ. I have one last scripture to read. And I'm kind of paraphrasing, I'm kind of butchering it a little bit. So I didn't make a slide for it. But Ephesians 2, verse 1. And we were dead in the trespasses and the sins in which you once walked, carrying out the desires. Sorry, band, you guys can come up. Sorry. Carrying out the desires of the mind, of the body and the mind, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with Him, and seated us with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Listen, it is possible to change your mind, your will, and your emotions. Not by your own power, but because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen.